Hi, and welcome to Curious Conversations, the podcast where curiosity meets connection. Thanks for joining as we discuss captivating stories and ideas and engage in thought-provoking conversations with experts, enthusiasts, and everyday people. We hope to ignite a curious spirit as we embark on a quest for understanding one curious conversation at a time. So let's jump in this together. Welcome to the world of Curious Conversations. And welcome to Curious Conversations. We are your hosts, Carly and Mandy, and today we are talking about documentaries, which is something we both love.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, I thought that I would kick us off with some interesting facts on how documentaries came to be. And this was fascinating to me. I just kind of learned in my research for this episode. In the early 1900s, we saw some of the first films, and these just like short snippets of real life events. But these were called actuality films, which I thought was fantastic. They were very short and they were almost like watching like a little clip of a home movie. I know you remember in our first episode, we talked about just being naturally curious about other people, almost to the point of being, you know, a little weird, just people watching and listening in on others' conversations. And this is kind of what these actuality films would provide. It was like a little glimpse into how someone else lived and operated. And you can still watch these on YouTube, which I find interesting. They're kind of like silent films. You know, you've got your music in the background, but you know, this ushered in television and the film industry. So essentially you could kind of say that these very first films were documentaries, but they didn't look anything like what we now consider documentaries, which are much more dramatized, but also give, you know, greater insight into just how odd life can be.
Yeah. So I knew about that. I just didn't know that that's what they were called. So, but you think back in the day, oh my gosh, that would have been like really weird and interesting to them to you're watching something, you're like, oh, that's somebody doing blah, 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 blah. That would probably be very boring to us today. But it was like you say, it's that little glimpse.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was thinking through, there wasn't a lot of, there wasn't social media and we weren't as connected as a society. So, you know, some of those films you're watching people just, they're doing their jobs, you know, coming in and out of factories or boarding a train and, you know, that would be like a very first glimpse at some things that people had never experienced. Now we get to see all of that on TV and we pretty much know what most people in the world are doing day to day. But, you know, at that point, it was just kind of a mystery. So to get to watch somebody else doing regular everyday stuff, that was probably fascinating.
Yeah. So actually I have a great aunt who I never knew, but she was on one of those. I guess it's the same kind of thing, working down at Dobbins Air Force Base and just like along the lines of the work there. And there was like a little, I would love to get my hands on that to see her on the line there working. But it introduced other people to what other people were doing. It's probably a whole different culture, even though, you know, you might be close, same state, whatever, just living very different lives.
Right.
So, you know, I remember though, when documentaries, like after that, and, you know, like when we were growing up, documentaries were sort of like a punishment.
Yeah.
So you'd be at school, they'd roll in this TV on a cart. you know, you hoped it was some sappy dog story, but, on documentary day, it was the worst. It was like, you know, and WW2 and da da da, and there'd be this very serious voice and you thought, oh gosh, I got an hour of this. But you know, and then before that it was the film strips and it was just boring. You know, it was boring as a kid. It would be boring to me now, but, that's what documentaries were back in, you know, when I was growing up. But do you remember, I guess I'm thinking of the first time I was kind of interested. Do you remember Unsolved Mysteries?
Oh, I do remember that.
Yeah. And so we'll still watch them here. And it's like, you know, it's very dated now, but it was given a little bit of the, a lot of the facts and the information, but then, you know, it'd be like a dramatized thing, but it pulled you in, like how the ones we know today pull you in with their story and the information. And that's the first ones I remember. That was probably like middle school or something.
Yeah, you know, talking about the rolling in on the TV cart, you know, and, you know, that did seem like a punishment. You know, it was like black and white still shots, and they just went from one to the next, and it was a very monotone voice. But then you step over into, you know, like Unsolved Mysteries. You know, that really drew me in. Like I'd watch the show, and, you know, I'm looking for some like hidden clue to see if I could figure out what really happened, you know, and I had that number, you know, if you have any information, call.
So you're ready.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, at some point here comes like Cops, you know, the bad boys. And that was so cool. Like you got to live vicariously through a body cam.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
That's right.
Get on the move.
You know, when the topic of documentaries came up, I was instantly drawn in. I love realistic TV without the drama of reality TV. So documentaries really appeal to me. Like, I love to learn something new and see the inner workings of stuff that, you know, I probably wouldn't get to experience without being able to watch it on television.
Yeah, I didn't get into the whole reality TV. It felt very staged. It's very different. And I know it's still going on, but it was kind of encapsulated there for a bit. And I could not get into it. It was a little overly dramatic, like like one of those talk shows that just sort of went on for weeks.
Yeah, I really had a hard time with the reality TV thing. You know, and I'm thinking The Real Housewives and, you know, those types of shows. I just couldn't get into them. It just wasn't my cup of tea. I will say I watched 20 and Counting religiously. You know, that was the reality show about the Duggar family. And, you know, that felt very genuine to me until recently, you know, when there was a big scandal revealed and it all seemed to fall apart and it showed some staged scenes. And, you know, I think that was heartbreaking for me because I felt like that was the one reality show that was probably not staged. Like that was the real deal. So it was kind of like, you know, a little heartbreaking to see it kind of all fall.
Right.
But this week we're talking about a documentary that we both watched recently called Three Identical Strangers. And I know we have a lot of opinions about that. But before we jump in, I did want to ask you, Mandy, what is the last documentary that you watched?
Oh, my gosh. Did you see The Hatchet-Wielding Hitchhiker? I mean, that's a tongue twister, right?
Yes, I did see that one.
Oh, that was insane. So this guy, Caleb Lawrence McGilvery, he actually went by Kai. Yep. So back in like 2013 is when this all went down. Evidently, he decided to go on sort of a vision quest kind of thing. He's out, you know, walking. He's hitchhiking. He's doing his thing. Actually had this weird, you know, and this was on Netflix, and it was very interesting. But so he had this weird situation, actually in Fresno. So he's like, he's been hitchhiking with this guy named Jet. And he's saying this guy claims to be Jesus Christ. He's like a really huge guy. And he's just like this powerful force, but very odd. And he's been telling him about like these crimes he's committed. And some weird stuff, you know, along the way. He ends up crashing into a parked utility truck, pins a worker between the front bumper and the rear of his truck. And then, so our guy, we'll say our guy, who's the guy that's been hitchhiking, he hops out and, you know, he's going to go help the man. And the other guy that did it, this big guy that claims to be Jesus, he stays in the car. And up comes, I mean, it was just kind of chaos. So here comes this female bystander. She's just going to help the guy, you know, in between that's stuck here. When she does that, then this dude gets out of the car, goes up and does like this big bear hug on her. And so, you know, our guy, the McGilvery guy, he comes up and he's like, he even said he, you know, this guy looked like he was going to snap her like a pencil. So he's telling this to this cameraman. He gets the interview. He's telling about what all happens. And so all this is caught on tape where he's given the recount. He goes up to save the woman and he ends up, he pulls out, he just happens to have a hatchet in his backpack he's been carrying. You know, he says he, his words were smash, smash, smash. And that kind of became a viral thing.
Yep.
Yeah, so and it's not really funny, but everybody kind of thought it was funny when he tells this. And so he, you know, saves this woman. He looks like the hero. And then not only does the smash, smash, smash go viral, he goes viral. Everybody sees this, thinks he's amazing. He's just like this cool, laid back guy that's just chill. And he's just, you know, walking his life out, whatever it is he's doing, and comes across and happens to be in a situation where he can save somebody. Then he makes it big. He's almost like this, you know, low-key famous because he's on talk shows. Everybody who sees this video where he's doing the smashing bit, they love it. They love
him. Oh, yeah. He was like a TikTok sensation. That's how I heard about the story.
Right. And so at that point, what did you think about him? Because I thought he seemed pretty cool.
I wanted to hang out with him. I thought that's my kind of guy. Just kind of, you know, nomadic, hippie, free roaming. I love it.
Yeah. So like he was on Jimmy Kimmel. Like everybody loved him. And then you got to thinking, well, what do you know about him? You know, what do you know about this guy that's smash, smash, smashing? And it's kind of funny. Like you take a step back and you think, huh, everybody jumped right on board with that. But they were thinking in terms of, hey, he saved somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you're watching this documentary, you see that there's a heck of a lot more to this story. You know, he'd already been with, he was with this guy and there'd been an incident and it's, you know, it's debated on whether that was consensual or not. But when you do sort of the rewind of how he ended up to this place, you know, it ended up, the story took a really dark turn and he was considered, maybe he wasn't the hero, but he took this out and wanted to kill this guy. So maybe he even saw the perfect opportunity, you know, just the perfect storm there that everything comes together and he can, you know, smash, 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 as he said. Anyway, long story short, he ended up, you know, in prison, 57 years on first degree murder because he wasn't quite the golden boy that was just the laid back surfer kind of guy. He was a little bit scary.
Right.
So that was a very interesting, weird story and kind of stuck with me, you know, watching it.
Yep, absolutely. Wow. Yeah, I got drawn into that because of a TikTok video, you know, the smash, smash, you know,
yes.
His interview. And from there, yeah, you're right. He was on all of these shows and being interviewed as a hero. And so I really got drawn into that, but I did not know about his sentence. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I stopped following.
Yeah. So, you know, that's like when you blindly just jump on board with something like, yeah, this guy's great. I know nothing about him. He did this thing. We don't really know anything about this guy. And could you imagine you've like had him on the talk show and build him up and you're like, here's my buddy. And no, the guy's got some stuff. So yeah, very interesting. So what have you watched lately?
Well, I'm going to kind of trail on that just a little bit and mimic a little of what you've said. So the last one that I watched was called Mostly Harmless. And this was not about a hitchhiker, but it was about a hiker. It was very interesting, very eye-opening. It starts with a body being found in a tent somewhere in Florida.
Okay.
And this was a hiker that was hiking the Appalachian Trail. So this guy had a lot of gear, but there was nothing that would identify him. So they found his body in a tent and he was, emaciated, like big time. I mean, just skin and bones. But do you know there was food in his tent? And that's what kind of threw everybody was you've got this guy with no identification. He was starved to death. He has food. He has weapons. And he was 5 miles, I think, from a major interstate. So it was like, well, gosh, did he go out there, you know, with the intent of dying, or, you know, what is the story behind that? So the hunt was on for the identification of this mystery hiker. And I don't want to spoil the story for the listeners. You know, I definitely think this is worth a watch. Just that part of the story in general of how, you know, it kind of came together and his identity comes about. And but there was an entire side story on this one about internet sleuths, which I'm careful to speak about because there is a whole lot of what I enjoyed doing in that title. But, you know, you got to see through that the effects of these social media detectives and, you know, how they can influence a case for the good and for the bad. It was really interesting.
Okay, so I haven't seen that yet, and I do want to see that. That's on my list. Like, yeah, you have this ongoing list, right?
I do, yes.
Yeah, I do too. And so I totally spoiled my story for anybody, but I think you guys, if you've been on TikTok, you probably know about the smash. But yeah, I like it when there's the surprise element. So sometimes I won't even look up a story because I just want to see it and have that that experience. But okay, so, you know, I watched the one that you suggested, and that was Three Identical Strangers. And that's what we were going to talk about today. And
yes,
about the triplets separated at birth, who surprisingly found each other later on. But there's a whole lot more to that.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So Three Identical Strangers was released in 2018. And this was so well directed. It was by Tim Wardle, was the director. And the story was told in a way that kept you on the edge of your seat the entire time. I mean, about the time that you thought you had figured out the storyline, there would be a twist.
Yes. Yes. So documentary tells this astonishing true story of three identical triplets. Bobby, and I hope I don't mess the name up, but Shafran, Eddie Galland, and David Kelman. So they were separated at birth and all adopted by three different families, but it was part of a secretive psychological study.
Yeah. You know, and these guys, they were 19 when they discovered that each other existed.
Yeah. And I really like, so you talked about the director and everything. I really like how they laid it out because, you know, it seemed happy and exciting, and I was following. I was happy for these people. They, you know, how they discovered each other. And so the way it went was it's really odd. So Bobby starts college in 1980. On his first day there, he's coming in, you know, he's a little nervous, first day of school. Everybody seemed to already know him. And he's, you know, they're coming up to him, patting him on the back. He says some girls even came up and kissed him. So he's like, gosh, this is great, but this is weird. You know, what a welcome. But then some people start calling him Eddie, and they tell him, they're surprised when he's like, I'm not Eddie. I don't know who Eddie is. And so come to find out, according to all these people at the school, he looks just like this guy named Eddie. So he ends up being taken to meet this Eddie guy because somebody's like, no, we're just, you've got to go. You got to see this. You don't understand. This is not just you look similar. I mean, he gets asked these questions like, when's your birthday? Or are you adopted? All these kind of things because there's such a similarity there. So him and a new made friend, they take off and to meet this Eddie guy. When he answers the door, they're both in shock because they look just alike. It's like a mirror.
Could you imagine that? Because they really did look so much alike. It was shocking. It was shocking to me. I can't imagine being in that situation.
I know. It was weird. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is weird. And, you know, you put yourself in that situation and looking at another me. I mean, that's very surreal. If you didn't grow up like that, it's one thing growing up as twins. But anyway, so the reunion becomes national news. because, you know, this isn't a time to, when people like the sweet stories, I don't know what they like now, but they like sweet stories. And so they're, you know, sharing this with everybody. And before long, something else happens. Their third brother, David, sees this story in a newspaper and realizes he's part of this same trio. These are his brothers.
Yeah. So there again, could you imagine? You end up with a set of twins, and then out of the woodwork comes a third guy, you know, and has seen his brothers in the newspaper. That has to be so weird. And I did wonder if at any point they were like chilling out, you know, waiting for a fourth.
Right. Yeah, it was very bizarre. I'm like, I think I kind of have that feeling like, okay, where's the others? It's like this whole society of these guys. They had a unique look, I thought. So it was, that made it even more interesting. They're just like their own little brand here. They looked so much alike. But anyway, so as the brothers are reunited, they kind of become celebrities. Because like I say, the people like the story. And so they're everywhere. That's when talk shows were making it big. You had like Phil Donahue and all that. So they were they would come on the talk show, and you could see they're doing the same kind of mannerisms and stuff. And I'm sure some of that's a little staged, but they come to find out they had some things they found out about each other that they had done when they were younger, and they all kind of did it, and they all had the same taste in certain things, which is really interesting. So they were eating this up. You know, not only did they find each other, they kind of found some fame. But, you know, they get a little deeper into their past and circumstances. They uncover a dark and disturbing secret. It takes a real twist.
Yeah, it really did take a twist, you know, and there was a lot of entertainment in watching them on, like they were on Phil Donahue and some other shows, and their mannerisms were the same. I think that they all three were involved in wrestling. Is that, I'm going to be off on that, but no, yeah, it was... Yeah, it was just shocking at how similar they were in completely different circumstances. Over time, they discovered that the brothers were intentionally separated at birth, and they were placed with very different families. And this was all part of a controversial psychological study. And this was conducted by a Dr. Peter Neubauer, who was with the Jewish Board of Family and Children's Services in New York City.
Yeah, so the purpose of the study, and this, you know, it gets me, because I'm like, oh my gosh. When this, I think I probably had my hand over my mouth when they revealed this, you know. So the purpose of the study was to observe the effects of, you know, just different parenting styles on identical siblings raised in different environments. So they're, you know, they're checking on a lot of different things here, as far as we know. And when that comes out, it's just like, oh, so was this happenstance or?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right. Yeah. And it was like the families were chosen based on the diversity socioeconomically, you know, was really one that stuck out for me. They had a family that they said one was upper class, one was middle class, and then a family that would have been part of like the blue collar working class, you know, and that struck a little bit of a nerve with me. It was like, well, that's kind of arrogant.
Right. That's what I felt from it too. Like, you know, the puppeteer kind of thing, like I'm up here and I can just do this. I'll just take these babies and do this thing. And we're just going to decide how we want to divide those and all. And I have so many feelings on this.
Yeah. You know, and I think that each of the families had a sister that had been adopted a few years prior to the boys. And so there were three girls involved in this that were all the same age. They were not twins. They were, you know, but I think that the premise was that they were watching how they raised those first children to see, you know, different parenting styles and what kind of effect that had. I feel like the study really went deep. But, you know, I felt like the emotional impact of their separation was apparent, especially, you know, by the end of the documentary. I think they had a lot of fun with it for a while when they were young adults and they started a restaurant together and enjoying all the you know, travel and celebrityhood. But I know at some point it definitely became too much.
Yeah, it was sort of like this whirlwind, you know, and you figure just finding out kind of in silence and looking back at your life and things. But I mean, this was all put in the, you know, the limelight for everybody to see and weigh in on. And, you know, they ate it up, I think, at first. You know, they jumped in all the way, and they like you say, they did that. I think they had apartments right there together. And so they were sharing and everything. And I mean, these are people they didn't know before. And but it seemed like so much fun. And I think everybody was back in that fun. And then when you find out that's behind it, you know, it hits me just right now that I think one of the things that bothered me the most is the loss of innocence. You know, you think that you've lost your brothers, but now you've got them and you think that that's a good thing and the world has worked in your favor. And, you know, everybody's getting behind that. And you think, you know, what a sweet thing. And then you find out there was nothing, or they find out, you know, there was nothing sweet behind it originally.
Yeah, you know, I thinking through all of it, I had that initial, can you imagine there are three children in a crib, and then you're sleeping without, you know, the two people that you had beside you, all the way up to being a young adult. And there's got to be some kind of feeling there of loss. You know, you hear about twins all the time saying, I can feel my twin, you know, mm-hmm. I know what they're feeling. I know what they're going through. You know, and I know that that was part of the study, but there's so much sadness in that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the ethical implications of the study, you know, it raises the questions about nature and nurture. And, you know, I have mixed feelings about that. I think it's a little bit of both. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think there's definitely nurture plays into it a lot, I'm sure. I know that is, you know, but when you watch the documentary and you watch those boys come back together and they've not seen each other for 19 years, they don't know anything about one another, but they are so shockingly similar, the way that they think mm-hmm. and the way that they feel. And even, you know, their interest in girls, and there's so much to that that you cannot say nature doesn't play a great, great part of that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, to say, hey, that's an interesting study, but to actually take babies and separate them and plan everything. And, you know, there was talk of celebration about all this, and I couldn't help but think, you know, were they celebrating when all this hit the headlines? Because they were able to view that directly. They were no longer going there and like studying the little children. They could see, it was almost just like aired for them, that they could see how this plan affected these adults now.
Right, right. It definitely, you know, it raised some questions for me about how far experimentation goes. You know, and we talked about that on our last podcast, experimental execution. And, you know, at what point is there a line that's stepped over, and what is that boundary? Because I know experimenting it's imperative to science, and I understand that. But at what point is it, you know, so intruding on someone's life that it's ethically not right anymore, you know, and these triplets, they had a really hard time gaining access to the records that were kept from the study. And I don't know that they've seen all of the records. I know there were a lot of them that were kept. But, you know, these are their lives. And it definitely makes you think, how would their lives have been different had they not been separated? And they weren't the only ones that were involved. There were other sibling groups that had been separated intentionally for the purpose of this study. And so I definitely had some curiosity about all of those families, you know, where are they, and what are some of the things that they have experienced? I know that the triplets, there was tragedy that took place, you know, within right. that group of three. And then there was some question of, you know, is it because they had some mental illness, you know, inside of them, or was it outside circumstances that drove them there?
Yeah, I don't even know that what they were seeking to begin with when they did this experiment. I don't even know that that was answered, because it's just such a mix of things, and it's almost like pretending to have some kind of power that you can have an understanding over things it's just humanity. I don't know that you can do that. And I guess, you know, there's still a lot more for anybody wanting to watch this. There was a lot of angles to this. And I guess in wrapping up, you know, I've got to wonder, since it did bring about a lot of darkness in the end, would they have been better if they didn't ever meet up? And how would I feel? How would you feel, Carly? Would you want to, just flip your life, basically? Have people walk into your life and say, this is who I am. We missed out on this time. Go through all that. Would you want to take the chance? Or would you say, I'd just rather not have that big flip?
Gosh, you know, I don't know. I thought about that, you know, and what would that feel like? What would that be like? You're essentially, you've got your life, and then you're giving it up and becoming part of a trio, and you have other families, and you're sharing your family. That just seems like it would be, it'd be like the walls closing in a little bit, but mm-hmm. I don't have that natural draw to another human being that identical twins have. So maybe I would feel different about it. You know, if you open the door and you see someone that looks just like you, I'm thinking, you know, that would be almost just too much. You know, I just don't know that I would want to see another me standing there, but who knows? Maybe it filled a hole in their hearts, you know, that had been missing, and it was something great. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I have mixed feelings too, because there's the part of me that I always tend to do with things where I'm just, just tell me the information, just let me have the experience. I'll deal with it later. So I'd right. rather at least try. I'd rather at least see, you know, how I felt about it. But because we don't have all that playing out to where we could know ahead of time how all that would go. I guess I don't know either. That's a tough question. And, you know, mm-hmm. you know your life as it is. That's yeah. just changing your whole story.
Well, you know, I mean, this is something that you and I probably will never truly know how we would respond in that, you know, that's just not something that we're going to be dealing with. And, but it's definitely curious. And that is definitely something that's worth the time to watch it. You know, I've really enjoyed this episode, and we're going to do some more of these, you know, docu-obsessed. We are mm-hmm. Definitely obsessed with documentaries and finding just things that are of interest and some learning stuff. And so we want to share more. So definitely we want you to come back and look for more of these, where we talk about some other ones. Well, we thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us again next week. We have some great shows coming up.
Well, listen, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, where we post exclusive content, contests, and so much more. And of course, you can keep up with our episodes through Podbean or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. And as always, if you have a story that sparks curiosity, or you have something that you want us to talk about, just shoot us an email to ourcuriouspodcast@gmail.com. We'll see you next time.